Okay, we've been over this a few times. We'll go over it again. We'll kind of encapsulate and what we've been talking about purpose. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll see. Let's read. Yeah, we'll go ahead and read 14 down through a little ways. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So there's the purpose of the believer right there. I take about 5 minutes to straighten out Joel Osteen and the crowd on purpose. Amen. It's not about collecting things of this world. It's about the ministry of reconciliation. We talked about this the other day. We'll look at it again. Of course, here's God. I don't want God. I'm not racist, but we're not going to make God black today. We're going to make him blue. Because he's up in the sky, amen. There's God. Yeah, we'll make man down here. There's man. And sin separates us from God without Jesus Christ. So God, through the blood of Christ, his blood on Calvary, has reconciled us to himself through his Son. So, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's gone on your account. So man and God are reconciled, put back together, brought back together. So our job is we have the ministry of reconciliation. And that's to tell people how to get back to God. And you know, the world runs around saying, oh, we're all God's children. God, 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 love, love, love. And the truth is, they're like Jesus Christ himself told the Pharisees, you're of your father the devil. You're either a child of God or a child of the devil. You're lost on your way to hell, or you're saved on your way to heaven. And it's pretty simple as far as reading the Bible and figuring out that these things are written you to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, so we can know we're going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. So our ministry, our purpose after salvation, and see, we're so messed up that we think that salvation is all about us. We really do, and most churches think that. Most preachers will preach that. It's all about us. Oh, you know, happy days, you know, Jesus, my brother, all this happy stuff, and praise God we're saved. But the thing is, the only way you're going to have true peace and satisfaction and comfort in this life is by fulfilling your purpose. And your purpose is not just to go, hey, I'm saved, I'm going to live like however I want and do what I want and then get to heaven and see how that goes. The judgment seat of Christ, you know, that's going to be a mess for a lot of people. But the ministry of reconciliation is our purpose. I mean, God, when God saves you, he doesn't just save you out of hell. And he doesn't save you just to go to heaven. He saves you to impress upon you the value of what he's done for you and the fact that what you have isn't even yours. I mean, you've been given this gift of salvation, and it's his, and we're supposed to be stewards of what's given us. To whom much is given, much is required. What more, I mean, what more could you be given than eternal life? You can't be given any more than that. They give you a brand new house. They give you a brand new car. They give you all the things of this world. They could give you Joel Osteen's hairdo. Amen. Some of the ladies are like, I don't want that. And the men are like, that's cool. But, you know, they give you anything in this world. You could have own Trump Towers free and clear. You'd be making $60 billion a month off, you know, rent off that stuff. And still, the greatest gift is salvation. One of these days, people are going to draw their last breath and it's going to be over on this earth. You know, and that's just the way it is. But just trying to collect things of the world, that's not our job, that's not our ministry. And it's funny because the word ministry is probably one of the most abused words in religion. Because ministry is not me, 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 give me, me, me. You know, you send in your seed money, your love offering and all this, and God's going to give you, you, you. And like I said before, I think it was I think it was Kenneth Copeland that said that he had given so much that he actually made God a debtor where God owed him and had to give him stuff. Crazy stuff. Now, it may not have been him. He said some wackier stuff than that probably even, but it may not have, I'm pretty sure it was him. But that's craziness. And there might have been Jesse Duplan. I mean, there are all kinds of people on there saying that kind of stuff, you know. And it's all about self. Well, minister is not about me. It's about others. Minister is give, to give. The ministry of reconciliation is giving somebody the message of reconciliation. And like we talked about before, there are lots of different ways to do it, verbally. Of course, prayer is part of that, but we're going to look at the witnessing part of it again today and kind of encapsulate what we went over and go over these tracks again. I want you to know what's available down at the bottom of the stairs on the left-hand side when you're headed out. We've got these, and when we run out, we'll try to put more in. But these are really handy. Thank you for your hospitality. Like I said before, Baptists usually eat out 7-8 times a day. So you could always drop one of these on the table. Bill, if there's chicken, Bill, go 9 times. He don't care. If it's a buffet and you can start at 11, just end at 11, right? You just do a 12-hour stint, just throw a track out once in a while. No, but these are, thank you for your hospitality. These are great tracks. And like I said, even if you get really bad service, it's a chance to witness. Amen? You can say, hey, you know, I'll be praying for you, and it looks like you're tired today and having a rough day or something, or just say, hey, thanks, you know, so I didn't get any water or clean silverware or any of that stuff. Food was nasty, but your soul's more important, amen? Just leave it on the table with, and like I said before, if you're going to leave a penny tip because you're mad, don't leave a tract, with a, especially with a church name, amen? Tightwad Baptist Church, but we don't want that. But, I mean, just lay it down there, put the money in it, put it under it, whatever, but there's a great chance to witness. You don't even have to say anything to them then. Personally, I like to try to give it to them. Depends if they've got time, if they're just going to hit and miss, you know, fly by water, fly off. But if they actually stop for a second and ask how things are doing, you know, hey, pretty good. Let me give you something about Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for serving us today. You know, the greatest service ever was, you know. There's all kinds of ways into that. Then we have these Mexican Spanish tracks. There are Spanish people all over this country that can't even speak English. Some of them, 2 or 3 words, that's it. But we've got these, the one door. This pretty much just explains to them that Mary's not the answer, Jesus Christ is. And then we've got the to my Catholic friends down there with the rosary beads. And, you know, 99.9% of them that are over here, especially if they can't even speak English, are going to be Catholic. But these are really handy tracks, the one door. And then we have of course, the veterans, like we talked about, the veterans are always running around everywhere with their hats on. Say, hey, thank you for your military service. Most of them will shake your hand. Thank you. You know, thank you. It was my pleasure, greatest honor, and all that stuff. They'll tell you that. You say, well, let me tell you about the best, you know, appreciate your sacrifice. I always try to say appreciate your sacrifice. Let me tell you about the greatest sacrifice there ever was. And a lot of times they'll take it and go, amen, brother, Jesus Christ. You know, and sometimes they'll go, oh, yeah, okay. But they won't throw this down. I don't know if I've ever had a veteran hand a track back to me. I may have, but I don't think I have. But if it's got something to do with veterans on it or something like this, they'll just take it. And it's funny, the other day I was talking about how easy it is to hand out tracks usually. Was it Kroger? I was over in Richmond. Kroger, there was a woman sitting out on the stoop waiting for a cab or something. I don't know what she's doing. And I went in, come back out, she's still there, and I took a track over, said, hey, can I give you something to read about Jesus Christ? And she said, no, thank you. Sounded like she was from France or something. I don't know. She didn't sound like she was from here. But she said, no, thank you. I said, well, you sure? She goes, I said, no, thank you. I said, hey, it's about Jesus Christ. No, thank you. I said, look, don't take a chance of dying and going to hell. I just walked off. She wouldn't take track. So I thought, well, this guy will take track. Come across the parking lot. There's another guy. I said, hey, how you doing? He said, pretty good. And I said, let me give you something about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you know what? And I thought he was going to say he's saved. He goes, I'm Jewish. I said, so is Jesus. Well, you need to get saved. You're going to trust Him as your Lord and Savior, you'll burn in hell. I like to leave them with that. I didn't used to do that, but I do now because I figure I may never see Him again. And I want them to at least think. I want them to at least, instead of them just blowing me off like, just run over the Christian guy and just leave him in the dirt, I want them to have to think about something, at least for 5 seconds. Hell, oh yeah, okay, hell, oh maybe, you know. Whatever it takes to spark some kind of interest in reality, you know. But the veterans tracks are good. The hospitality tracks, I like them a lot. The Unica, the one door. And then we have these. And like I say, you can be debt-free. Everybody in America is in debt. I mean, need to give this to our leaders, amen? Because we're, what, $30 trillion in debt? But well, they can't be debt-free. That ain't going to happen. Okay, so, but a lot of people take that and they're interested in it. These are, I really like handing these out or leaving them on the doors, like at the apartment buildings, trailer park, stuff like that. But everybody's in debt. Everybody's, you know. And, though, you know, a lot of times I say, let me give you this, and they'll look at it, and they go, yeah, debt. So, you know, I had a debt, a sin debt. We all do, and, you know, Jesus Christ paid it. You can be debt-free forever. Lots of different ways. We'd also talked about the fact that when you're standing in line at the grocery store or something, or where at, the DMV down here for 6 hours when you got to get your license plate sticker, there's always doors opening up, opportunities opening up. You know, you'd be standing there at Kroger, you know, when they got 700 people in there and two lines going very slowly, and people all the way to the back of the store, and you're standing in there, and somebody's standing in front of you, and they're like, oh, they're... And after they, you know, they stand around, and they're getting anxious, and they'll start talking. And they usually say something like, man, can you believe these eggs are $3 a carton? You know, or how about $5 for a jar of Miracle Whip on sale? And you say, yeah, you know, but the greatest gift in the world is free. And hand them a tract. I mean, there's just all kinds of open doors out there. And again, to go over some different ways to get the message out other than that, scam mail and scam phone calls and solicitors, really good opportunity. A lot of times I'll say, well, you know, I've given you 2 minutes, can you give me two? And they'll go, sure, what you got? Or something like that. I say, well, I just want to know if anybody ever talked to you about the Lord Jesus Christ and where you're going when you leave this place. The most important thing you have to know is not whether you're, you know, you're getting a break on your internet service or any of that. The most important thing you need to know is where you're going when you leave this world. And a lot of times they'll go, okay, yeah, I don't blow it off. And sometimes, I mean, every once in a while, a couple weeks ago, we got to lead a girl in the Lord, to the Lord from California that was an internet I don't know what she did. She fixed our internet. She wasn't really a tech, I guess, but she was a customer service rep. We called her because our internet stinks. And it still stinks, but she got saved, so praise God. I guess God's got a purpose for it. Probably, maybe more techs need to get saved, hopefully. Actually, it's not that bad now. But she was trying to help. My wife and I were sitting there telling her what was going on. She was trying to switch us from one tower to another tower. And I said, hey, you go to church anywhere? And she went into talking about how she'd actually lost her faith. So I let her talk. She just talked for about 5 minutes about her life, and she just needed somebody to unload on, and listened to her for a while. And I said, you know what? She started talking about an ex that had been, you know, she was a single mother too, and her ex was very abusive and all this stuff, and she really couldn't understand how God let that happen and all that. And I just told her, I said, you know, look, people are a mess. We're all goofballs. We'll hurt each other. We'll let each other down. You'll even let yourself down, but God will never let you down. And took her to the plan of salvation, and she prayed on the phone. I mean, before I said, all you got to do is pray and ask Him. And she just prayed. Got saved right there on the phone. And she was like, thank you all. You know, blessing, God sent, and all that. And I'm thinking, I was really upset about the internet. Didn't have any intentions of witnessing to you. You know, but the Lord just over time worked it out where I got to deal with, He got to deal with me so I could deal with her and He could deal with her. You know what I mean? And a lot of times that's what it takes. It takes us getting out of the way. I mean, when all the water that's supposed to be in your motor is outside your motor, and the tow truck driver's getting you, and you're like, I can't believe another $12,000 worth of junk going on here, you know, and the tow truck driver's lost on his way to hell, and, you know, we're so upset we don't even think about it. You know, think that's something, you got to be careful, because God might put you on a 200-mile tow just so he can straighten you out so you can witness, amen, instead of a 2-mile tow. But, you know, it's just stuff like that. There's opportunities everywhere, opportunities everywhere. And I'm telling you that because you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and you're not going to be judged on whether or not you sent money to little kids in Haiti. Yeah. You're going to be judged on what you did with the Word of God and the blood of Jesus Christ and how seriously you took what he did for you. And I'm not against the other stuff. I think, praise God, if God says, hey, send money to the disaster relief or whatever, not Benny Hinn, God's not in that, all right? 700 Clubs, God's not in that either. He's not 100 miles from that. I've got a word, and the word is no. But, you know, this other stuff, helping people out and all that stuff, praise God. But that's not what you're going to be judged on. I mean, you're going to be judged on what you did with this book and the blood of Jesus Christ and this ministry. The easy ministry is sending money somewhere. The easy ministry, if you will, is putting money in the plate. The tough ministry is letting the Lord just kick you in the seat of the britches and get right with God so you can be a good child of God and keep going forward and do this. That's the real ministry. There's nothing wrong with the other stuff. The other stuff's needful for carnal things, but that's it. You know, there's nobody going to stand in the judgment seat of Christ and God's going to say, what'd you do for me? And they're going to say, well, you won't believe it, Lord. I give 12% one year. Off the top of my money. And you know what the Lord's going to say? It wasn't yours anyway. Because you're bought with a price. And I actually told you to give 14% and you held back on me. So I'm not impressed. But I do believe he's going to say, well done, a good and faithful servant, the folks that are out there that are just getting on the front lines of the battle and saying, hey, you need to know how to get saved. We had a bunch of boxes and cleaned the garage out. I had a bunch of boxes and stuff and they were in the way. I don't know why I got an early spring cleaning thing going on in my head. Real early, amen. But I thought, get this junk out of here. Get this junk out of here. We can have some room. We can walk around. Just frustrated with everything being unorganized, you know what I mean? You ever get that way? About 2 or 3 times a year. I don't know how it comes back. Somebody brings it back and puts it in when you're asleep. It's a 2-for-1 deal. You get rid of one thing and 2 things show up. You don't even know where they come from. I think garage sailors are sneaking in at night and putting their junk in there. Amen. But well, I had to go to the dump. I get these boxes and a couple bags of trash, boxes, just get them out of here. I get up to the scale thing and I said, hey, just got a couple bags of trash and some cardboard boxes. He said, you're good. I hand him a tell it like it is track. You have to check those out. We got those down there too. I said, make sure you know where you're going when you leave this world. And I said, this is kind of a cartoony way to tell you what Jesus Christ done for you. He goes, man, thanks. I'll read that. And I said, just make sure you don't die and go to hell, you know. I said, what's your name anyway? He said, David. I said, so's mine. He said, oh. And I said, yeah, God don't make mistakes. Read that. And he was excited about it, you know. Some other guys were, I was in a vehicle I don't usually drive, had a couple Spanish tracks and one English track. I had 2 English tracks. One of them was a grace track, I think, and the other one was a victory military track. So there's 2 guys over here throwing trash out, unloading wood and stuff, and a man and a woman over here, and I'm like, I got 2 tracks, and there's 4 people here. And the man and woman got in the truck, and I thought, well, they're leaving, so I guess I'll give them to this guy. So I gave the one guy a track. I said, here, all I got is a military track, but it tells you about Jesus Christ and how to get to heaven. Well, he happened to be wearing a shirt about one of his brother-in-law's picture on it that passed away from cancer a couple years ago. And he had a cross, a crucifix on. So, I mean, it was an open door. That guy, obviously, if he's wearing a shirt with somebody's picture on it, he's obviously thinking about things, you know. So the other guy, he was kind of like, ah, whatever, you know. Happened to be a couple black fellas, a big guy down there on the ground. He was kind of like, ah, whatever, you know. And the more we talked, he finally stopped. And I was getting ready to walk away. And he said, hey, he took his gloves off and he said, thank you for stopping to talk to us. Shook hands with me. See, I noticed these little things over the years. He could have just reached out and shook my hand, but it was skin on skin. Yeah. I mean, he was serious. You can tell little things like that. Just like when you hand somebody a tract and they start making origami out of it. It's like they could care less. They just want you out of here. Amen. But he just took that glove off, you know, handshake. He said, thank you for stopping and talking to us, man. And what did it, the end thing that I think, he was talking about the devil. He said, the problem is we need to get rid of the devil. I said, the Lord's going to get rid of the devil. He's going to cast him in a lake of fire. If you're saved, we get to watch. You know why? Because everybody's getting their teeth kicked in because the devil's on full-blown, you know, destruction. He wants to do everything he can do to hurt anybody he can hurt. And, you know, people are feeling it. But there's just a lot of opportunities out there, a lot of opportunities. Other ways to go back over a little bit, recap what we went over the other day. If you mail your bills in, put them in there. Mail them in your bills. You can get a phone book, and people still have landlines. You can call people up and say, hey, go to Gateway Baptist Church. Just wanted to invite you to come visit us. And most importantly, I want to make sure you know where you're going when you leave this world. You don't have to do all these, but find what God wants you to do. I'm just trying to give you a bunch of examples. You might not be comfortable doing the phone thing. You might not be comfortable knocking on your neighbor's doors. But if you are, get you some waterproof little bags and put tracks in it, hang them on the doors, take them to the doors. I mean, we've done that several times in the last few years, take out John and Romans and CDs and different track things. We've got the gospel. I guarantee you we've hit every house two or three times with the gospel. I'm not talking about inviting them to church. If they come to church, they come to church. I want them to go to heaven. I don't want them to go to hell. We're trying to snatch them out of the jaws of the devil. But we've got the gospel, a clear presentation of the gospel out there several times to them. So you never know where the Lord's at with them or where they're at in their journey to salvation, if you will, because eventually a lot of people just go, okay, you know, I just need to get saved. But you can hand tracts to your neighbors, hang them on doors, put them in your mail. Like I say, deal with the phone calls. Junk mail. Matter of fact, I threw a couple away I should have kept. They were politicians' stuff. I probably should have mailed them back to them. But really, you can mail that stuff back to them. They're trying to sell you new vinyl siding and windows. Really, sorry, I'm not interested in that, but I want to give you something. Mail it back. Just all kinds of opportunities. Get you a stack of envelopes. And if you want to do this, like I said, I'll get the envelopes. I'll get the stamps. We'll get the envelopes with the peel-off gizmos so you don't have to lick them. But if you want to get a stack of envelopes and go through a phone book or go down and say, I'm going to take this whole two-block area and get every address and just mail them out anonymously or put your return address or whatever, do it. And there's 1,000 ways you can get the gospel out there. Like Paul and I talked about, you know, that kind of the hit-and-run thing in your Walmart parking lot, and the guy's walking across the parking lot and say, hey, how you doing? Pretty good. Let me give you something. And usually before you get something out, they got their hand out and got their hold of it to read about Jesus Christ. And 90% of the time, they'll just take it. Sometimes they'll stop and talk about being saved or say, hey, I got a question, or hey. And if they ask you something mind-boggling, say, why don't you come Sunday or Wednesday and talk to our preacher? He'll tell you. If he don't know it, he'll tell you. And if he does, he'll try to tell you. You know, he'll try to help you out. But if it's something, you know, if it's a softball, you know, you believe that once saved, always saved stuff? Oh, yeah. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. I believe you're saved and sealed. Yeah, I believe that. You know, something like that. But if it's something difficult, you know, what do you think about, you know, the Antichrist and him dying and coming back and the two witnesses and what do you think about this and Daniel 70 weeks? They started getting into all this stuff and say, come to church. We talk about that. We've been talking about that stuff. And that might just be what it takes to finally get them off the rear end and get them in a church, you know. And we'll do the best we can to give them some help. Amen. And it'll be a blessing to us if they show up. So trying to think of some other things. You can leave them places. Just leave them on store shelves or put them in. I do a couple different things. Sometimes I'll put them in. You get to Walmart and you open the next bag up for the next customer. Whoosh, drop a track in there. Them bags are hard to open, too. I don't know how the little girls do. They walk up here and go, whoosh, and they open. I'm up there. Looks like I'm, I don't know what's going on. Wearing my fingerprints off trying to get them bags open. Finally, I'm like, COVID, take this, you know. Open them up. But just put that, put the tracks in the bag. Or, I don't know if we have any down there. I've got some, we had some that said, why abstain from alcohol? But it doesn't necessarily have to be that one. A lot of times I'll find it in the truck door or car door that says, why abstain from alcohol? I'll take it in Kroger and stick it in a box of beer. You got to be careful so people don't think the preacher's buying beer. Carrying my beer to the store, you know. But they'll just think I'm a contemporary guy. They ain't worried about it. Then they'll all show up, amen. No, but just poke them in the beer thing. What are they going to do? Arrest you for leaving paraphernalia?
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, if you're taking the beer, yeah, they probably will. Unless it's at Walmart, you can get away with up to $100, I think, that you just walk out with. No, that's crazy. But just things like that, putting them in there. Trying to think of some other things. Anybody remember any other ways we talked about that I'm forgetting? Laundromats. Laundromats are great places to go and leave them. Doctor's offices, hospitals, put them on end tables. Put three or four or five tracks on the, each table at the laundromat or whatever, or a stack of tracks at the doctor's office. Hand them to the doctor, you know. If you're getting ready to go in surgery and he's an atheist, you know, might wait until after surgery. I don't know. Now, you can even say before surgery, amen. No, but you hand them to the doctor. There are a million different ways. I've had one sister.
I did have some scripture cards that I've been given out.
Amen.
I gave them to Terry's surgeon, to all the nurses.
And, amen.
People working with him. I said, if you could use this, that'd be great. If you're not interested, you know, have to be somebody else.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's another opportunity she was talking about passing to somebody else. A lot of times, I don't know how many times, but different times over the years, I've handed somebody a tract, and they go, hey, you got any more of these? I say, sure. And they start handing them out. They didn't even know what they were. Now they're handing out tracts. You know, they're saved, but their church don't do that. Most churches don't do that anymore. It's an uncomfortable situation. But that's what we're called to do. Do you don't think going to Calvary was an uncomfortable situation? I mean, this is what we're called to do. It's a ministry of reconciliation, and people aren't doing it. Now, there are a couple churches in this town that do that. You know, there really are. But overall, probably the vast majority of churches don't. They don't do it at all. They don't have a track rack. They don't have tracks. They don't witness. And, you know, it's terrible on one hand, but what an open door for us. Amen. We've got a chance to witness to people that nobody's talking to. I've talked to people several times and said, anybody ever talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ and where are you going? No. How in the world do you get to be 40, 50, 60 years old and nobody's ever told you about Jesus Christ? I can count on one hand how many times I've been witnessed to.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Probably, you know. And I get around quite a bit. So that's, like we was telling the other day, I've had people call that deal with churches all the time. One of them was an alarm system place, I think it was, or surveillance, I don't remember what it was. It was over in Richmond. But she said, talked to her for a little bit, and I said, let me ask you this. You know where you're going when you leave this world? Took her through the plan of salvation. She said, you know what? In all the years I've been doing this, you're the first pastor that's ever asked me if I knew where I was going. I said, really? And she said, yeah, really. She was saved. The guy come over, one of her employees come over, and I talked to him for a little bit. He said, well, we want to come talk to you. Whether, you know, you don't feel pressure or anything, but want to talk to you about, you know, outside cameras, I think is what it was. And talked to him down there in the doorway. He was saved. But could you imagine that, calling churches all day long? I mean, that they weren't strictly with churches, but they dealt with churches. That was probably half of their business or a third of their business. Could you imagine calling 500 churches and nobody witnessing to you? But you know, people go to church and never don't get witnessed to.
That's
right. You say, well, our preacher thinks we're all lost. No, I just want to make sure you know you're saved.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to talk you out of it.
Yeah.
Amen. If you're saved, you're saved. Praise God. You're not going to lose it. And, you know, but we got all kinds of opportunities. Sister, do you have something? Yeah.
Every door you open up, there's a saying about Jesus Christ and about the
Yeah, there's one over by Dayton has the same, I can't remember the name of it, starts with S. What's that?
Soin, S-O-I-N, it's a Kettering Hospital.
Yeah, it's a longer name. There's another, it's over on the other side of, I can't remember where it's at. It's on the other, I think it's out four.
Sycamore.
Of course, they're NIV verses or something, but they do have an attempt on their walls. They've got something on their walls anyway. But, yeah, Sycamore's got them all over there. I've talked to a lot of safe doctors and nurses at Sycamore and Kettering and Dayton and over here at Reed and different places. But, yeah.
We passed it out. Three people that cleaned the streets picked them up and got saved.
Yeah.
The work people.
Amen.
One was a woman and two was a man.
Amen.
Went back to our church and got saved. And yeah, is that wonderful?
Yeah, that's a blessing. So, I mean, don't overlook track ministry. Anything else? Anybody else have something I forgot about? I went over a lot of stuff the other day. I'm trying to think. Trying to think what else we had. Anybody else remember any ideas? I know Glenda was just telling me she left them on the tram at the airport. And brother?
Those gas pumps where they got those.
Oh yeah.
Credit cards.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Or in the pump handles, or if they don't have those, or whatever. What's that? Hey, the way they bill you, they need to get saved. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's good. Put one in the AES envelope.
And hope that they don't send him a bill.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Raise the bill.
Oh, raise the bill.
Yeah, I mean, say if you're going to send them in with your bills, pay your bills on time. But, you know, the collections department, they need witness too. So do the best you can, but, you know. Lord might, you know, he'll work it out. Amen. So maybe just once a year be late, let it turn over to collections. No, I'm just kidding. No, don't do it intentionally. Sister?
I got I'll bring it so you can read it and you can tell me if it's good or not. I've got a letter that a friend of mine found, and it's a semi-tract. It's a letter from Jesus, and she found it in a bathroom in a rest stop somewhere, and it really provoked me to start seeking Jesus. And so I sell things online, and not a lot, but just tiny little things that people give me to sell. And I'll print one of those out and say a prayer and write something, a personal note to them.
Amen.
I get a lot, you know. Problem is, I can get kicked off any of those apps if I am.
Yeah, Lord will fix it.
He'll provide. And so I do it. Amen. Anyway. But I've had a lot of people say that was, it really touched me. I needed to hear that. But I'm going to bring that so you can look at it.
Okay.
Because it touched me when I first felt, when I first saw it, read it. So.
Yeah. And that brings another thing back to mind. We're getting rid of some junk. So I sold something on, I don't know if it was eBay or Mercari or something.
Yeah.
But I sold it. And I put tracks in stuff when I sell anything. So I sent it out there, and the woman messaged back, thank you so much for the pamphlet. She didn't know what it was. She said, for the pamphlet, I will start doing that too as the end is near. So she's going to start putting tracks out. So I gave her information about Fellowship Track League and some other places she could get tracks. So isn't that something, how the Lord works that out?
Yep.
So I just, you know, stick one in there and throw it out there, and she gets it, and she's like, hey, I'll start doing that too. Well, praise the Lord. She's probably selling a lot of stuff. I sell a couple things a year just to get rid of junk. She might be selling 100 things a week. I don't know. But it's just amazing what the Lord does and how he multiplies stuff. Anything else? Yeah, the anything that you give, this is one caveat here. One thing I'd like to say is that, we'll write this down here. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Anything you have, you hand out, you're wasting your time, wasting an opportunity if you don't have scripture on it. That's all I can say. You should have a few Bible verses about salvation on it, because I wholeheartedly believe that it's the word of God that convicts. And that's what the Bible says. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. See, well, people don't have any faith. Well, they don't have the word of God anymore. It used to be taught in school. That's why lost people still had a fear of God. And now saved people don't. Because they've thrown the Bible away. And you get into a Bible-believing church, you come in here. That's why when the visitors come the other week and they were excited, they're like, man, yeah, we believe the King James Bible. We nobody preaches on this. Nobody preaches on that. 10-20% of the people come in, visitors, are going to be excited, and the rest of people are going to be upset because they're used to being patted on the back and told them they're all right. You're all right. You just go on to hell now. Go on and have fun. You know, get up and wipe the little boo-boo off. Go on and have fun now. That's not church. That's not church at all. Every once in a while, you ought to feel like you've been run over with a steamroller. Amen. Amen. And if you don't, then I'm the only one, because I get it up there too. And, you know, if it's just this lovey-dovey stuff, you might as well stay home and watch Captain Kangaroo reruns or something. Amen. Because that's just ridiculous. But most people don't want that anymore. But you get somebody in, you know, to meet you at the door and go, yeah, we believe the Bible, and we, you know, they get fired up about it, and hear people saying, yeah, I'm handing out this tract to this person, and this happened, and talking about the letter and stuff like that. That fires me up, amen. If we quit doing what we're supposed to do just to get what we think we want, God's not going to be pleased with it. You could fill this place. I guarantee you we could fill this place up in 3 months. If we threw the Bible out, threw the hymnals away, quit preaching on sin, and just told everybody happy things, we'd get people, I mean, the neighbors would be flooding in here because they want to feel good about themselves and they don't want to quit sinning. We could put a Bud Light sign out, you know. I mean, you think I'm joking. We would never do that, but I'm talking what churches are doing to get people in.
Baptist churches.
Yeah, that's the scary part. You know, the great falling away is not just the talking about the Lutherans getting back to the Catholics and all that stuff. The great falling away is the Bible believers are ditching it and running. And any old book will do, any old song will do, you know, just whatever. Anything goes. Just put money in a plate and think happy thoughts all day long. And the judgment seat of Christ is still just as real as it was 50 years ago. Amen.